Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In a previous life, I was a professional musician, and I traveled musical comedies out of New York. And I did the first two national road tours of the musical Annie. You know, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Great tune, isn't it? Well, today, if you notice my name of this is The Sun is Bright Today. S-O-N and not S-U-N. You know, Annie is the story of a little girl who never lets her life get her down. She's always positive, and she always looks at what's bright and what's good. How many of you have seen the stage show? Not the movie, but the actual stage show. Not too many. The stage show is so much better than the movie, folks, because it's all set around Christmas time, not with her going up to Derrick or whatever it is. I think it's a good example for us today about what happens with Peter, James, and John. So Peter, James, and John went up a mountain with Jesus in order to pray with him. Now, can't you see the four of them walking up this mountain? All right, Jesus, you know, every time we see him in a movie, he's, you know, so serious. Jesus was a human being. You know, can't you see him teasing each other a little bit? You know, Peter, sometimes you are so dumb, you're just like a rock. Was that pretty bad?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. You know, or Jesus, you know, Peter says this to Jesus, you know, it's a long walk today. Can't you change some of this water into wine for us? You know, but stop and think. If these are friends, wouldn't they be talking that way? Well, sure they would. Sure they would. Okay, so then they get to the top of the mountain, and Jesus begins to pray. And it seems like every time he does that and he asks the apostles to go with him, what happens? They go to sleep. Garden of Gethsemane. Pray with me for a while. You know, that kind of thing. Normal people, aren't they? But then they wake up, and what do they see? Well, Jesus is pure white. Okay? His garments are a dazzling light. His light is shining from his face. And he's talking with Elijah and Moses. I don't know about you, but if I was somebody and all of a sudden I saw that, I think I'd be a little troubled, wouldn't you? And they are. Okay. Now, if you notice in some of the other Gospels, they talk about Jesus is doing this in the air. This one does not mention that. However, what it does mention is Peter still gets so nervous and upset. You can just see, I don't know what we're going to do. Why don't we make three tabernacles for you and Moses and for Elijah? Now stop and think. What is the significance of tabernacle in the Old Testament? Think about the Exodus. Where does God live? In the tabernacle, which is a tent. All right, so he's going to make three tents for three gods. You see where I'm going with this? What are we looking at? This is a story about the... This is the story about the Trinity. Okay, good. Boys and girls, you got it. Here's what I was thinking about. Well, what is this story in the Bible really about? Stop thinking about this. Jesus is both God and man at the same time. Okay? And he's always God and man. But most of the time he doesn't show his divine side, does he? Well, when does he let his divine side out? There's four times in the Bible. Can you come up with them? You didn't know you're going to have to think this morning. Well, Transfiguration. At the well. There's the one that nobody ever remembers. Remember when he talks to the woman at the well, the one who's been divorced, had five husbands? He lets his divine nature come out right then. Okay? Ascension and baptism. So four times in the 3 years of his ministry, just four times, does his divine side come out. Otherwise, he's Jesus who jokes with you. You know, it says in the Bible that Jesus drank and ate with the hypocrites. Now, to us, a hypocrite is somebody that, well, he says one thing and does another. Well, yeah, that's what a hypocrite is. It's an actor. And they were the lowest part of that society. okay? So Jesus sits down with them, and you know, a bunch of show people, they're going to tease each other and tell jokes. Now, you can't tell me that Jesus is sitting here with that real staunch with these people. You know, remember, I've always said that one of the verses in the Bible should be Jesus laughed, not just Jesus cried, because you know he did, okay? Does Jesus only take on this divine nature when he shows the heavenly light? Think about that for a second. You know, we talked about this tapestry this morning, because I was telling Bjorg about this. I shared this with some of you, but Olive Strum, who made this by hand, just died here about a month ago. Okay, 4 months ago. Anyway, this was handmade by her. But the thing is, you see the light around Jesus? Okay? And that light goes on to the little boy, and in his light. Okay? Remember that everything that I've talked about in the Bible deals so much with light. Why is that? Because where does the light come from? God. Okay? Even on the Aaronic blessing, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious upon you, and make his countenance, it's the same thing again. It's that light that comes from the same. Profound. You know, that's a profound statement. Pro, in front of. The foundation. Who's the foundation? God. When you come before God, that's profound. You're in front of the face. Stop and think about all the psalms that we say in here that have to do with light. So whenever you have a story about light in the Bible, it's really important. Isn't that what happens at the Transfiguration? It's the light of his divine nature that comes out and shows at that time. You know, one of the things that I thought was very interesting about the Book of Concord, how do you explain Jesus' divine and human nature? Well, here's his divine nature, here's his human nature. It's two pieces of wood. Now we're going to put some glue on these and put them together. Isn't that the way it works? Why not? Still two pieces of wood. Even though they're joined, one's divine, one's human, right? They're always together. Okay. Now, can we turn the air conditioner on a bit? I can see all of us doing this.
You turn it on.
Yeah, but Bob turned it off. Thank you, Bob.
Robert.
Okay. Yeah. But folks, when we start talking about this divine nature and human nature, when Jesus goes to the cross, is it God that dies? Think about that for a second. Okay. Jesus dies, the man does, but his human nature, or his divine nature, does too. Why? Because it's got to be a true sacrifice. You with me? The first covenant was based on sacrifice and blood atonement for sins. All right, God decreed that. Well, if God decreed it, can it ever be changed? Well, yeah, God can, if it's been fulfilled. All right, so when we talk about atonement like this, and we start looking at how do we atone and finish the first covenant? Well, it's got to be a very special sacrifice. So what does God send for a sacrifice? His Son himself. So both the divine nature and godly nature die at that point. See, remember I set this up last week when we started talking about the resurrection? Okay, who resurrects Jesus? God the Father. Okay, so in other words, the divine nature dies with him too. It has to. It has to be the best sacrifice that can be. God so loved the world. Okay, you see where this is going? So that's why whenever we see his divine nature, it's reminding us that Jesus is both divine and God and human at the same time. Make sense? So if one dies, you know, at that point, they both died. And it depends on God to resurrect. Okay? It's one of those things that as we look at these kind of things and these stories, that all of a sudden they start coming alive. Last week I talked about Christ-like figures. Was it last week in here or in Bible study? I know we did it in Bible study. All right. Well, yeah, last week, the Joseph narratives, because Joseph is a Christ figure in the Bible. So is Moses, okay? And today we look at a lot of things about Moses. Let's look at the Old Testament. And there has not arisen a prophet since an Israelite Moses whom the Lord knew face to face. Profound. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, for all the mighty power and the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Terror, what does that mean? 10 plagues. God did it, but who warned that it was coming? Moses. And in the song, the Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. Pretty heavy, isn't it? The Lord is great in Zion, he is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name, holy is he. All right, David, how do you really feel? Don't hold back. Okay, our epistle starts explaining how this would be for the people of the time of Jesus. All right, now we're looking at Moses today, right? Because Jesus is greater than Moses. Why? Because he's both man and divine, okay? So, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him. Who appointed him? God. Just as Moses also was faithful in all of God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy. Who else was counted worthy? And Abraham, remember? He was counted worthy and declared righteous. And I think that's Genesis 15. Okay, so now we're tying all these people together. Then Moses is much more glory, as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. All right, so what did Jesus build? The new covenant. Okay, the new covenant is only two rules. What are they? All your mind. Love your neighbors as yourselves. A lot of rules to remember, isn't it? Okay? But the thing is, Jesus is the focus. And the focus of Jesus is love, right? Okay? Because both of those deal with the love. Love the Lord your God. Okay? Love your neighbor as yourself. The greatest of these is love. Okay? But if you notice, Jesus talks about love. Does he say the church in any of this? No, it's not the church that's the focus of this, it's us. You do this, okay? It's not often that I do law in a sermon, is it? But when it comes out of Jesus' mouth and he's talking law, is it law or gospel? Yes, it's both, because Jesus said it, right? Okay, but Jesus was faithful to him who appointed him. Just as Moses was. I mean, God is still in charge, right? Even for Jesus at this time. So Moses and Jesus do this. They are faithful to God. So Transfiguration Sunday, I think what we're leading to here, is about the Trinity. Now, the Trinity is number what? How many in the Trinity?
Three.
Okay, anybody remember what three means in the Bible? Yeah, numbers. Perfection and completeness. Okay? So, how many apostles went with Jesus up the mountain?
Three.
James, John, and Peter. Okay? Jesus is joined by how many people? Two, which makes how many? 2 plus 1 is?
Three.
There's three again. Peter's going to make three tabernacles. Are you starting to see the pattern here? Now remember, I told you that when we talk about Hebrews, they would see the pattern. Do we see the pattern? No. Okay. But it's there, isn't it? All the number three, because that's a numerological. There, I got it all. Okay? So, is this story just about Jesus shining? Or is this a message about his place in heaven? Yes, it's both. Jesus is God, and Jesus is man. He is equal with the Father, and he is equal with the Holy Spirit. And I think that's part of it. Yeah. That's what this story is helping to lock in with us, isn't it? So yes, as I started today, the sun will come out tomorrow. S-O-N. And so will the S-U-N. I couldn't pass up that pun. Brothers and sisters, may the light of our Lord and Savior always shine through you as we praise your holy name. Amen.